Now, we said that a Christian is a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ and is subject to the Lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just that you give your life to Christ and then you keep Lordship over your life. You have to surrender your Lordship to Jesus, just like you served the devil when you did not know the Lord. Even though you were not conscious that was what you were doing, but those things you did naturally came from hell. And the lies, the cheating, the whatever it was that each and every one of us did then came from hell, because the devil was the master of every man that is not under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The beginning of the Lordship of the Lord Jesus is us obeying the gospel, receiving the gospel, and believing it with our hearts and declaring it with our mouths. A Christian is one who has been born again. If you're still asking what does it mean to be born again, it means you are not born again, and you need to be born again. When you surrender yourself to Jesus and ask him to be Lord into your life, God comes in and recreates your human spirit. That is what it means to be born again. You're created where a Christian is one who has been born again, recreated in Christ Jesus, and given eternal life, which is the very life of God. Without that life, you cannot survive eternity. What I mean by survive is that the presence of God is going to be a torment to you. If you carry corruption in your spirit, you cannot dwell in the presence of God. If you look at the book of Prophet Daniel, you see that when the angel came to him, there was the corruption inside of him were beginning to turn against him. And he says, how can this my Lord speak to me whilst I'm in this state, as it were? So without eternal life, you cannot survive the presence of God, because it's a burning light. But God has given eternal life to as many as have received Jesus, the sacrifice of Jesus, as being for them and called him to be Lord over their lives. The very life of God gives us, means also that we receive the nature of God. In John chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the life we're talking about. God didn't just love the world and decided that, oh, I love you so much, so have all the marijuana you want, and have all the Budweiser you want, have all the cocaine you want. He could have done that and have as many women as you like, or as many men as you like. He could have said that. But his love was so strong that he knew man was lost, and so he needed to do something to redeem man. So that underscores people who say, God made me that way, so I have to remain that way. God made the thief. You know, some people are kleptomaniacs. They steal even when they have the money. Is that normal? It's not normal. So God so loved that person that he gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for that person to be redeemed and brought back to him. When he took that person home, he now recreated the person's spirit and gave him a nature of righteousness, a nature such as he has. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14, he said, "For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead." Verse 15, it says, "And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again." We're going to come back to this. It says, "Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh." That means we're not looking at men from the outward appearance. We're not looking at the color of your skin to judge who you are or to decide what we're going to do with you. It says, "Henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, We have once known the man of Galilee, you know, who walked the streets of Galilee and the soldiers beat him, they spat on him. That Christ, we knew him after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. Meaning, we don't see Jesus, the man that was beaten by the soldiers. He has taken on his deity, as it were. He has taken on his true nature, which is the Lord of glory. Amen? It's after the flesh. Yet now, henceforth, know we him no more. The next verse says, therefore. He said that to say something else. He says, therefore. You know, a preacher said, whenever you see a therefore, find out what it is therefore. He says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. If that person was a murderer, it's passed away. If that person was an abortionist, it's passed away. If was a criminal, it's passed away. If was a terrorist, it's passed away. If was a serial killer, it's passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And the Bible says that all these things, the next verse, are of God. All things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given to us the ministry of reconciliation. It says, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So he has made provision for all of us to return to him, not imputing their trespasses unto them. So he's not imputing any trespasses unto us or anybody at all. Potentially, if we will come to Jesus, our sins are already forgiven. But we now ratify the decision. Praise the Lord. It's like a law has been passed by Congress. It's gone through the Senate. But it does not become law until the president assents to it. Now, you're the president. You're the one going to assent to what Jesus did. If you don't assent to it, it does not become law as it has to do with you. Hallelujah. It says, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed to us the word of reconciliation. That's those of us who have believed, God has committed this word, sharing with the world the fact that God has done everything necessary to make peace with the world. Praise God. It says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Now, for he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that new creature is a righteous person from what we can see here. He made him, which is Jesus Christ, to become sin for us by divine imputation. God put sin upon him. Hallelujah. Our sin, so he could judge it. So the Bible says it pleased him to bruise him. It pleased God to bruise him. Why? He was bruised for our transgression. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So he paid a price, a full price for our redemption, that we may receive the righteousness of God as a free gift by faith. So everybody in Christ is now made righteous because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? In a nutshell, we must believe and follow the Lord. Hallelujah. What does God want us to do? Believe and follow him. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God had given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son of God had not life. If you don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God and that he died for you and receive him as Lord over your life, Savior and Lord over your life, you don't have life. At least not the God kind of life. Not this life we're talking about. He that had the Son had life. He that had not the Son of God had not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. And so God wants us to know that we have eternal life. Amen? Now, in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12, he said, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." He says, "But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." That means that if we believe today and tomorrow we stop believing, we didn't hold. And therefore, we're not partakers of Christ. We lost our salvation somewhere. Now, a group of people came and they were following Jesus as he was, you know, dividing bread. They were eating fish. They were eating, touching them. They were falling and getting healed. Everybody was happy. Then Jesus said, "Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Then some of them said, "No, whoa, what are you talking about? You know, we followed you all this while. We understand all of that thing, but we're not cannibals. And we're not going to do that anyways." So they began to grumble and all of that. And some of them say, "Who can bear this saying?" And they started walking away from him. And all of them left. Every one of them left apart from the 12 disciples who later became apostles. Apart from Judas who fell because he did not follow through. Now, what happened? We would, if it was me, nobody wants to lose their congregation. So you start having seminars on what the blood is and what the body is. Jesus did not do that. You know what he did? He turned to the 12 and said, "Will you go also?" And he said, "Now, you are the one that has the word of eternal life." Praise God. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, we're going to see something about following through. You see, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." To him that overcometh, that's to him that followed through. It's not somebody who began and did not finish. No. I was once born again, now backsliding. No. For the backslider, I have a word for you. God wants you back and you can return to the faith and everything will be good. But if you continue in darkness, you do not know the truth. And you cannot claim that you once believed in him and that's it. You have to follow through. You have to continue in him. Amen? Now let's see verse 11. It says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." So he's saying that you be exempted from the second death. Hallelujah. Which is those who will not be resurrected at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. They don't come alive. That is the second death. Because those people, if anybody does not get out of the ground, that person is heading to the lake of fire. Hallelujah. Now somebody says, "But you're trying to frighten the people." No, I'm just telling you what's going to happen. "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." So you have to overcome. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, verse 5. "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I'll confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Amen. Now, I know that the message of faith, we preach the message of faith, but faith is not the only weapon that there is in the kingdom. There is something called the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's what we're dealing with right now. Praise God. Because God is going to slay the wicked by the sword coming out of his mouth. It will be a word of judgment to them. To us, it will be a word of glory. Amen? Hallelujah. A Christian is a disciple or a follower of Christ and his doctrine. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you reject the doctrine, you are not a Christian. You did not follow through. You joined the United States Army. You were listed. All right? And maybe you went for the Marines and they put you through the test. When he got to the last part of it, he said, no way. I ain't going to do that. And you turned around and you walked. Are you a soldier? No. You did not follow through. We don't become Christians halfway. You know, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they now tell you, don't marry an unbeliever, say, Baba, I love him. You know, no, you have to follow through. He said, because of that, I'm not going to be a Christian. Well, the joke will be on you because we're talking eternity. We're not talking, you know, it's not, I don't like Walmart so I can go to Target, you know, and all of that. There's no such option. Heaven is a monopoly. The only way you can get there is through the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not told these things, they are playing with us. And I don't like people playing with me. Just give it to me the way it is. Hallelujah. Amen. Tell people the truth. A Christian is a disciple or a follower of Christ and his doctrine or teachings. Doctrines are teachings. If you don't follow the teaching, you are not a Christian. You know, some people just get up and tell us that, okay, now we have canonized that two men can get married. You are not a Christian. You cease to be a Christian when that thought entered into your mind and you started walking with it. Why? You did not follow through. I'm going to read something to you. Praise the Lord. Second Epistle of John is a one chapter book, verse 7. Hallelujah. It said, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, all right? Those things we have labored for, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hallelujah, hath not God. So it's not enough to give your life to Christ and decide that you decide what happens as a Christian. So you act anyhow you like, you marry anybody you like, you just do anything you like. God is not an American. So if you do not abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. He says, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, he doesn't bring this teaching to you that you have to follow through. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. That means don't sow into his ministry. He's a pastor, don't give him anything. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. That person that is a Christian is a disciple. He's an adherent. He's a follower of the teachings of Christ. He's a doer of God's word. Let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 46. He says, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation of the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and it could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. That's the one that believed. Now, John chapter 14, verse 1. It said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Verse 15 says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. The Holy Ghost abides with us forever. Amen? He doesn't leave us. He will abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. Praise the Lord Jesus. Now in verse 21, let me just rush over that. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. In verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. So you can't say something contrary to the word of God and say you love Jesus. If you don't love Jesus, you don't have any business in the kingdom. He, verse 24, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken unto you while being present with you, but the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance some of the things I said. No, all things that I've said to you. So in addition to the epistles, the words that Jesus spoke in this place are vital. Don't just say we're born again and that's it. No, born again is compulsory, because without the root, there cannot be a fruit. Amen. Now, without the fruit, it means that the root, something is wrong with the root. It was probably genetically modified. And so it's not the real thing. For the Christian, the word of God is supreme. It's supreme. It's first and final. We don't have our own opinions about anything.